is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we'll talk about it here. I'm Charlie Morn, and this is episode 148 for Wednesday, January the 23rd, 2019. And it's our first podcast of the year. Happy New Year, everyone. And what better way to start than have a whole new set of hosts, topics, and plans to start 2019 off right. So, Rita and Tess, how are you both?
Good, thanks, Charlie. How are you doing?
Very well, thank
you. Great, Charlie. Good to be here.
Awesome. All right, let's get stuck into it.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to our first piece of news, which is probably that your ears are not deceiving you, that this is not Brad and Scully. So as mentioned in the last episode of 2018, Brad and Scully have handed over the reins, or some say handballed them over, of their beloved SMC to myself, as well as to Rita and Tess, in order to focus on some other exciting projects, which we'll certainly be grilling Scully on later. So just a little bit about myself. I've been working with Image 7 now for about a year. And after previously working in the not-for-profit sector for four, I've always been drawn to compelling stories and loved clever and creative advertising and marketing from an early age. And this is what I did at university. And getting schools to really tell their story to the best of their ability is a really enjoyable challenge. So anything social media or creative campaigns, I'm sure I'll be sort of ambling on about later on as the episodes go on. However, I will not be alone for SMC, as I will be accompanied by the talented Rita Kilroy and Tess Palmy, who are both senior account managers here at Image 7. And fun fact, were both my interviewers when I first joined Image 7. So,
correct.
Rita,
you passed the test, really.
It seems to
you
be.
Made
They've
it.
Let me loose onto the airwaves. So, Rita, tell us about yourself.
So I'm Rita. Some of you would have come across me at an earlier stage in a couple of the podcasts. So it's great to be back. A little bit about myself, for those of you who don't know me. Originally from Ireland, as you may have guessed from my accent. I used to work in international law and politics and then transitioned over to marketing about 13 years ago. So I moved to Australia in 2014. Love working in marketing, love working in education and marketing. Find it extremely interesting. I guess my main passion really is finding solutions for clients, the best solutions. Marketing has come a long way in the last couple of years and continues to evolve. New platforms, new approaches and solutions for clients. So it's something I really enjoy, keeping in the know of what's the latest technology. And that's what I love doing. So we will chat to you again.
Yeah, awesome. And now, Tess, our listeners may sort of have a bit of an allegiance to your voice, as you have experience on their side of the fence.
I certainly have, Charlie. So I actually started out as a music teacher, which I did for about 15 years. So I've been on the other side. I know what it's like on the ground. And I'm now coming at education from a slightly different angle.
From the dark side.
From the dark side. That's right. So for me, my passion is well and truly education, and it's telling the story of the great schools out there and what a wonderful job they're doing. So the communication side of things is really important. I'm also a relentless planner. So when it comes to strategy and the marketing plans at the start of the year, I love nothing better than starting the year with that, doing a full audit and asking the question, why?
Yeah.
And then what are we doing to
achieve
that?
Okay, so that's ominous for me as a host that I'm just going to be getting grilled nonstop. But no, that's great. Okay, so I guess to explain what the format's going to be this year, so I will be sort of hosting and then I'll be joined by either Tess or Rita each week as we dissect sort of the news pieces and marketing examples. And I'm sure Brad and Scully will never be too far away. However, you will be stuck with me. What we do want to do this year is that we want to hear from you. So we want to hear your marketing examples, your questions. We are on episode 148, which for the eagle-eyed, we're not too far away from episode 150. And we would love to get some questions that we can kind of dissect on that episode. So any questions, please flick them through to smc@image7.com.au.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So to our first proper, I suppose, news item, which is recapping the marketing trends to pay attention to in 2019. So Brad and Scully ran through some items that were raised in John Hall's article in Forbes. And just to recap, they were talking about that reputable content as opposed to advertising is what consumers like, creativity, not conformity, understanding how your customers communicate, and having authenticity over automation were the big trends that were predicted in John Hall's article. However, rather than recapping that full article, what we want to dive into really is what we want to see, I suppose, from clients in 2019. So other than the mobile optimized websites and obviously a great budget to do some awesome stuff, Rita, what would you love to see from your clients this year?
Big question. But actually, that's quite interesting because, you know, I think people are becoming more savvy. You know, it's interesting just the mention of ad blockers and how people are just getting quite tired of the clutter, you know, on things like YouTube and all these different platforms. So I think what's really important is being relatable in what our, you know, our clients are putting out there and giving them information that's relevant. So from my perspective, what I'd really like to see our clients working more on is the storytelling side of things. It's more personable. They've got such great stories to tell, all the fantastic things that they're doing within their colleges and schools, like programs for special needs, gifted children, children with disability. There's all sorts of fantastic things that colleges and schools are doing that needs to be communicated to the general public so people can really see the value of what they're offering. So I'm a big believer in telling the stories and communicating that to people so they understand who they are. So that's something I'll be working on quite a lot with our education clients this year.
Awesome. Getting in touch with their inner selves.
Absolutely.
Tess, how about yourself? What do you want to see from your clients this year?
Yeah, look, I absolutely agree with what Rita just said. You know, it's a really
what a boring
noisy
podcast that we all agree already.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll disagree later. It's a really noisy online world, especially. So you've really got to cut through with how your school is different and what it is that you're offering of value. So for me, I really want to see some strategic thinking. I want schools to get back to what is it that we want to achieve? What are the school's goals? But also, really importantly, and this is the part that I often see missed, is actually what do our, you know, prospective families want?
Yeah.
What are their goals? And the crossover in the middle, and Brad will be very proud that we're using one of his terms, is the value zone. So where your goals and your parents' goals cross over, that's that sweet spot that you really want to focus on. Create your marketing strategy and plan around that, and you're already more than halfway there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose for myself is that building on those two points is that I would love to see clients getting a little bit bolder with their creative. We've seen some really, really great stuff from a couple of our clients as they're looking to really kind of step away from that traditional mold. And I'm talking about the look and feel of their advertising and how they can be a little bit more adventurous and potentially grab that a little bit more of sort of the imagination from their prospective parents as they kind of push the boundaries a little bit. But always being conscious of holding that brand identity, the look and feel. We don't want to, I'm not talking wholesale changes, but I'd love to see a couple of our clients stepping forward a little bit.
Absolutely. I think boldness is really important. Education is bold. School should lead the way. Totally agree with that.
We're all in agreement about everything. This is very interesting. This was not pre-planned. No, just to add to that, actually, which it's interesting about, you know, talking about the marketing trends that are out there. What I think is really important to remember is there may be fantastic platforms, you know, with great technology, et cetera, but not to forget that you're dealing with people, that you're communicating with people, that even though there's all these great forms of, you know, digital platforms that you can work with, to remember that you need to be speaking and communicating with people.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, well, I think it's about time we grill a certain someone. So we'll move on to the next part.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So welcome back. And as I mentioned earlier, Brad and Scully will never be too far away from this podcast. So to a man familiar with these airwaves and hopefully a voice that you'll recognize, we have Scully with us who can tell us a little bit more about where they've run off to. Scully, how are you?
I'm really well and great to see you in the saddle, so to speak. Yeah, I'm fine. We, that's Brad and I, the royal we, are very busy plotting further airwave domination with a brand new thing, a big shiny object called SMJ. So that's going to be a whole variety of content.
With a whole new acronym.
Yeah, that's right. So SMJ, in this case, journal, we're going to be launching a magazine all about school marketing and another podcast to complement that. So this is going to be aimed at school heads themselves as opposed to heads and school marketers. So it's going to be less about the hands-on doing and more about strategy, governance, being ahead and managing the board. In terms of marketing, that is, not in terms of running a school itself. So it's really exciting. Yeah, and we're really motivated to change the world.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds like you've taken on, bitten off quite a lot there. So we look forward to seeing it. So I'll put you trying to get you to draw a line in the sand. So when can we expect to see this SMJ in action?
Shortly, he says. It'll certainly be by term two. So Easterish or thereafter. Watch this space. You can find, you will be promoting it within an inch of its life. Don't you worry. Before it's out and about, you'll find it on the usual, wherever you subscribe to podcasts or online. And also the magazine will be there. You're able to subscribe to that. But yeah, it's very much looked at partnering with heads. It's a lonely place at times being a school head. And we have the privilege of helping, advising, and finding really relevant information. So, yep, we love school marketers too, but this one will be aimed specifically at those principals.
Perfect. Okay, well, hopefully our listeners have had their Scully fix and they've heard the voice and know you're not too far away. So thank you very much for joining us, Scully. And we look forward to seeing SMJ.
Brilliant. Take care. Bye.
Cheers, Scully.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So now that we've had our Scully fix for this episode, we move on to our marketing example. And this is brought to us by a guy called Zachary Crockett, who wrote for an e-newsletter called The Hustle, of which I subscribe. And we're talking about a big trend that we saw last year and will most likely continue to grow this year, which is out-of-home advertising, specifically billboards. So a while ago, as everything starts moving across to a digital sphere where we know that we're able to track views and impressions and clicks and really get an idea on that return of investment, billboards appear to be a bit of a dying art. However, interestingly, as highlighted in this article, which will be available in the show notes, billboards, specifically out of the out-of-home sector, were the only traditional form of advertising that grew last year, a long way behind digital. But if we're looking at TV, radio, magazines, and print, they were all in decline, whereas actually out-of-home billboards specifically were growing, which is a really interesting sort of little insight. So as we've got new hosts, Tess, I'm going to throw to you. Are we throwing everything out with the bathwater? We've been preaching inbound marketing to our loyal subscribers for years. And now in our first episode, we're just saying, no, it's all about billboards.
Well, I think you'd have to have a big ad spend to do that in the first place. But no, absolutely not. This is all about working out what best medium suits each audience and where they're at as well. So please don't throw out inbound marketing. That would make me very, very upset. Yes. But it's really important. For example, if your audience is not aware of the school, then absolutely a billboard cuts through. It's not in the digital space, so it's actually got a very special place where no one's competing. So it's a nice way of cutting through, but back it up with some digital advertising, follow it up with some great content, some thought leadership and other forms of advertising, but also communications as well.
So it's not about having your eggs in one basket then?
Absolutely not. It's got to be integrated. Your messaging needs to be spread across all stages of the customer journey.
Yeah. So what we do know now with sort of the data and the technology that's coming through is that we've got some really, well, the industry has some really good ways of actually tracking some return of investment with billboards, which we never really were able to do in the past. Rita, I'm now throwing to yourself. We know that there's some great technology out there. So how can our clients, I guess, better utilize out of home?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And by the way, I love the fact that we're going retro with billboards. I think it's great. But as Tess mentioned, it's important with campaigns that you're utilizing whatever relevant platforms are out there for your campaign. Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot. One of the big advantages of marketing now is that there's greater analytics out there to really show the value of the campaign that you're running. Now, a lot of this is dependent on budget, really depending on, there's a budget and there's a solution for no matter what size your college is. Particularly if it's a regional college, the billboards potentially in smaller areas aren't quite as expensive, don't require as much of an investment. The analytics that you can get, they're really quite good now, from traffic flow to more in-depth analytics, depending on the agreement you have with the company that you're using. A couple of things I would say is that, as Tess mentioned as well, is that the messaging is extremely important. I guess, particularly when you think about it, when you're stuck in traffic, you've a bit more time to absorb what the messaging is. But in many cases, when the traffic isn't bad at peak hour, you're flying past. So you really have a couple of milliseconds to get the message across. So visually, whatever imagery you're using is extremely important. And just keep the message and copy really precise and brief. But it's certainly something I think that is worth utilizing, because you've got a dedicated audience with no other distractions. So I would be all for continuing to utilize billboards, and it's been very successful.
And a lot of schools are going to have a lot of data on their hands without even really realizing, I suppose. I mean, looking at, I guess, postcodes and addresses of where prospective parents are coming from, where their currently enrolled sort of parents are based. I guess you start to get an idea in terms of location where actually it might be wise to, or might be an interesting experiment to try and put up a bit of at a home. Because as you said, Rita, you're hopefully our drivers aren't distracted and you're not competing with that multi-screen that you would be with digital and TV and all this kind of stuff, that you're actually, you could be getting quite a lot of focused attention to your creative. There was one little piece in this article, which I found really interesting actually, which was a recent Nielsen study found that combining billboards as well as digital advertising can lead to a 4 times increase in online activation. So as we were just saying, not having all your eggs in one basket, actually looking at combining a few different mediums is important. Other studies have also shown billboards can lead to lifts in about 54% in search traffic, 38% in Facebook interaction, and 25% in Instagram engagement, which is pretty solid numbers. I mean, if you're looking at combining different mediums, I mean, at a home, I mean, we work with schools a lot with radio as well, just to kind of get that repetition going on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. And I mean, the interesting thing about billboards is if you're doing something smart, eye-catching and different, that can really get people talking. So I think it's really important, particularly for schools and colleges and education in general, to not be afraid to do something slightly different that still gets your message across, but the value of what you're offering. But, you know, don't be afraid to do something slightly different and be creative, because that will get people talking and get you recognized for what you're doing.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I think another thing to remember is, you know, we don't just have static billboards anymore. You've got digital billboards. And like you said, the analytics that are available now can actually target people depending on what's happening based on the data that that supplier can pull in. So it's very interesting to see that then executed across, say, your digital billboard and then your Facebook creative as well, and how that ties in. So it's just reaffirming the same message in their heads.
I mean, having great creative, I mean, we always know that that's at the heart of any really successful advertising campaign. But I mean, long are the days. I mean, we're talking about billboards, but also, I guess, your at a home, sort of your shopper lives and those kinds of things in shopping centers, that if you've got great creative, you've got the opportunity to really inspire some people and maybe generate a little bit of search traffic. Because yeah, if you've got some really great static or moving imagery that you can really kind of push your creative, then yeah, it opens up a whole new world.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I found really interesting in this article, which was quite cool, is that the data behind digital billboards, for example, is that, you know, even based on the weather. So if the weather is cold, you know, say, for example, you're selling coffee and cold drinks. If it's cold, you can actually transmit an image or an advert for coffee, which is quite cool. Now, I don't know if that would be for education, but it just shows the technology that's there.
Are we going to be reminding parents to bring their winter uniforms and that kind of thing?
It's cold. Put on a coat.
That's it. Okay. Well, so at a home could be something that you could be looking at for your marketing strategy for this year.
This is SMC. It's insight applied.
Okay. And now we know to the favorite section of the podcast. We're talking rants and raves. And this kind of time of year, we see a lot of campaigns revolving around ATAR results. So it means a very busy world for us in the office. But as I've already thrown, Tess, you have seen this from the other side. What's ATAR like in the world of schools?
Yeah, look, Charlie, I've had plenty of experiences with actually 5 different curriculums across the country of actually teaching it. So I definitely can relate to this topic. I'm probably going to side on the rant side of things.
We're starting 2019 very positively.
That's right. Look, I think it's really important for every school to remember that, to use a really cold marketing term, your product is partly a student cohort, and you can't control who those students are. To some extent, you can mold them through their education, but there is going to be components of those students that you won't be able to control. So some years you'll have strong cohorts, some years you won't. Focusing just on academic excellence, you could find yourself in some very tricky situations. Not only does it put a lot of pressure on teachers, but a school marketer, I'm sure, would be tearing their hair out the year that they don't actually rank in the league tables. So it's really important to remember that there's a lot of different sides to education. If you want to show a robustness in your academic program, then show how you educate the whole student, if you like. So it's not just about the end result, but it's about how you work with each individual student to get them to their own personal best.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, something that I find really interesting is that when schools decide that they're going to pull out of sort of these league tables, because I can imagine that, yes, you might build, as we said, if we're ideally having a long strategic approach to our marketing, that one year you've got that dream cohort that come through and your school rockets up the league tables, and then you build this massive campaign. Well, what's the year after going to look like? I mean, are you setting yourself up for a big fall?
Well, potentially. In fact, it could be a really good time to say, although we've done really well, this isn't that important to us, and you're covering those bases.
Parents' ears.
That's right.
And actually, it's interesting because it just reminds me of an advert that Singapore Airlines did years ago where their messaging was zero accidents. And it's, even though it's a very different scenario, but the difficulty with something like that is that the day that things change, which you don't necessarily have a lot of control over, as Tess pointed out, then it's almost like it's been a failure. So I think it's really important, as Tess mentioned, that academic excellence is a great thing to showcase, you know, of your college or your school, but there are so many other elements that make up a great education offering from a college. So it's important to be mindful of those as well.
Yeah. So I guess we're agreeing that ATAR results are not the be all and end all. So don't fear. I mean, if you think you're going to be fairly consistent with your school, then yes, we can factor that in as a campaign year on year. However, maybe don't put all your eggs in one basket and don't sort of rely on that to be your golden egg that's going to bring in all the prospective parents for the next open day. That really it's just a part of the package that you're offering.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So that almost brings us to the end of episode 148 of SMC. Well done, Rita and Tess. We got through our first episode. If you're listening from the Image 7 website, why not pop over now to your favorite podcast player for your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. Search for SMC School Marketing and Communications, and I'm sure you will find us. If you have any questions, comments, marketing examples, or rants and raves, as I said, we would really love to hear from you, especially as we edge our way closer to episode 150. And you can send that to us at smc@image7.com.au. That's it for this episode of SMC. From Rita, Tess, and myself, Charlie, bye for now.
Thanks, Charlie. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.